A difficult message this morning. I struggled with it this week a little. What measure do you use, or how do you determine the value of a message that you hear? One like I'm going to preach this morning, or maybe ones that you've heard from me or other people in the past. How do you judge? What measure? How do you determine the value of that message? How do you evaluate it? Is it the value of the message like the speaker's ability? You know, my ability to make you laugh or keep your attention? Is it that? Or, like I said before, I'm not here to entertain. You know, that's not what I'm here to do. Does a message at times, I think we all go through an emotional time in our life, and that determines how we receive a message, right? I mean, there's times where a message might make us cry, and then there's times where some message might make us laugh, and then there's times where one message does all of that. It makes you laugh and it makes you cry. But how do you evaluate that message in terms of what you're hearing to what is actually the truth? Does that make sense? Okay. How do you evaluate what the truth really is? And I know we can be motivated by great speakers. Man, we can be encouraged by what they say. But is it truth what they're speaking? Are they really truly speaking the truth? So in the book of Acts, in chapter 17, verse 11, I think Verna has it on the screen. Or will have. There you go. If you have your Bible, do you want to turn and look? This is in the NIV. There's not much difference between it, really, the way it's worded than in the King James. It says, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." They received the message with eagerness. They were happy to hear this. I mean, they were encouraged, excited to hear this message that was being given to them. But yet, they wanted to make sure that it was really true. Now, when you hear a message, are you doing that? Are you reading and studying your Bible? Are you searching the Scriptures to see if what I am saying is true? See, I put myself on this pedestal up here. I call myself a preacher or a pastor, but yet if what I'm saying is not true, if it's not lining up with the Word of God, then I'm deceiving you. Amen? If you're not following through and reading and studying your Bible, it's easy for somebody to mislead somebody else. History has shown that. Jim Jones. People believed every word he said. They drank Kool-Aid and killed themselves. Wow. I mean, how does a person have that much influence over somebody else? That's amazing to me. I mean, and there's many others through history we can read about that one person had such an influence over what they were speaking to a group of people that it led them astray. But you should all trust the preacher, right? I mean, I've been to school, you know, taking classes still, furthering my education, learning theology, learning Scripture, just took a crash course in the Torah, first five books of the Bible, you know, the Pentateuch. I mean, you know, I study and I read all these things, so you should trust me, right? You should trust every word that I say. Making you think now, right? Martin Luther, when he nailed his thesis up on the door, he was challenging the church then because what he was reading was contradictive to what they were preaching and teaching. That was his whole thing. He was like, wait a second, What I'm reading here doesn't line up with what I'm hearing from these guys. Something's not right here. Because Martin Luther believed that the Bible, the written language that he had, was true. It was 100% true. He believed it with all of his heart that it was true. So how can a person know what is being said, what's being said is true? You know, there's a lot of ways that we can evaluate the truth. And I tell you what, evaluating the truth these days is really highly important. And I highly encourage it, because the truth is being distorted more now than I've ever seen in my life, especially with the Scriptures. And so we have to be careful. In our, you know, this contemporary pluralistic society, some people believe that the truth is simply in the eye of the beholder. That what is truth for you may not be truth for me, but it's because what I believe, it's my ideology that makes it more true. See, you see what I'm saying? So many people take their ideology and they put it into to bend the Scripture to make it say what they want it to say. And we have to be careful with that. People want to say, well, just let the listener decide. You know, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, that's what the Scripture says, right? Well, what's that all mean? Can't I just decide what's truth and what is not on my own? On the other end of the spectrum are people who have chosen to believe whatever they hear. You know, there's a lot of people, and I hate to say this, but statistics show there's a lot of people who go to church almost every Sunday and never read their Bible. They've never read their Bible. They've never read Leviticus, such a wonderful book to read. Ecclesiastics, we've been studying Ecclesiastics. It's hard, but it's been good. We've really gotten some good stuff out of it. It's in there for a reason. Some people just accept whatever they hear. And after all, the person who said it is, you know, got a microphone strapped to their chest. So it must be right, you know? It must be right. There's a lot of people who have a microphone strapped somewhere else that speak a lot of things, and it's not always true. And I won't get political. Not today. You know, we need to be discerning about the message we hear, and as we seek to determine what is true and what is not. You know, the danger of it is sin is deceptive and Satan is the deceiver. And he uses people to be that, the deceiver. He can manipulate people to think and bend the truth, and he is the best at it. He even tried it with Jesus, but Jesus was like, oh wait, you're tempting me, really? I mean, you're going to throw that at me? Oh, this is what the Word of God says. That's how Jesus defeated Satan right there when he was being tempted. Every time Satan would bring something up, Jesus would correct him and say, this is what the Word of God says. Yes. Amen? Amen? How did Jesus know that? Well, he was the Word. That's how he knew it. But what I'm saying is, the Word is the truth. Amen? Amen. So, that is the one primary reason why it is critically important that Christian people here in this century that we live in, to learn and to know the truth. And how do we do that? And that means mature believers, new believers, you got to start reading your Bible. You got to start studying the Word, and you got to start looking at what you're hearing and looking at it on paper. You see what I'm saying? Open it up and look at it and see if what it says is true from what you're hearing. Does that make sense? We've got to use what God has given us, a gift of discernment. Amen?
Amen.
You know, sometimes we hear things that are good. Man, it sounds good. Yeah, it motivates us. It sounds good, but it may not be good. And it may not be true. So we need to find those voices that we need to dial back, and we need to find those voices that we need to be in tune with. Mainly, that's God up above. You know, when we look at commentaries, man, there's a whole lot of commentaries we can look at. And some of them are really good, and some of them, you know, they kind of push the parameters of your thinking. And so you have to be discerning when you read through the commentaries to know really what kind of aligns with the Scriptures and what doesn't. Because anybody can write a commentary about what they think of anything, right? You guys follow me this morning? Am I off in the bushes too far? You know, the Bereans search the Scriptures day by day to check and see if what Paul and Silas were saying was really true by the Scriptures that they had. And they had if they were Jews, okay? So they had all the old Scriptures written. They knew them well. So they would search these Scriptures to see if what Paul and Silas was telling them, which that was true. They were checking Paul and Silas's integrity. Man, I'm putting myself on the spot this morning, aren't I? And I'm challenging you guys to check my integrity, because it is highly important that I be correct in my teachings. The reason is because we're all human beings. I'm just as human as anybody else. I can be wrong. You ever think to yourself that you could be wrong? Huh? You know how many times I've heard people misquote Scripture? How many times have you heard somebody misquote Scripture? Me? I'm the only one? I've heard people misinterpret things. Things that, you know, don't line up because they don't look at the whole narrative. They don't look at the whole context of what the Scripture is talking about. You know, you can take one passage, you can take different passages out of the Bible and make it say whatever you want by using these different things. You can prove a lot of things, but unless you look at it in the full context, then you start to understand what it really means. It takes study. It takes time. One thing I've had to do this year is learn the painstaking task of hermeneutics or exegesis, okay? Hermeneutics is just the science of exegesis, which means the science behind the study of Scripture. And so you chase all these things down from the beginning to the end. And I keep telling, you know, I preach this a lot, that the Bible is connected from Genesis to Revelation. It's all one big story. And it's all about Jesus. All of it. And when you see it that way, this big narrative, you understand more about when you read these little things that Paul says in Romans, because it's connected to something, or in Hebrews, and it's connected to something in Leviticus. It starts to make sense. People are fragile. People sometimes they're in emotional, state where they've maybe lost a loved one, or they've had a bad experience in a relationship, or something's going on in their life, and they need somebody to say something good, right? They need somebody to encourage them. They need somebody to lift them up, because sometimes this world is not easy to live in, is it? I mean, we go through stuff in our life, and sometimes it's not easy, and we want somebody to say something that's going to make us feel good, and sometimes we're a little sensitive to hearing things that may not be true. And we can be deceived that way. Easy. People can lead you astray, and some people can lead you astray even unintentionally. Because let me tell you, if you're misquoting Scripture and you're telling somebody that, then you don't really mean to. You probably got good intentions, but yet you're deceiving that person because what you're saying is not true. Does that make sense? That's why it's so important that we understand what the Scriptures say. It's so important that we read and study our Scripture. You guys are loving me this morning, aren't you? I want to encourage you to read your Bibles, because it's not just for me to tell you what the Scripture says, because I guarantee you most of you have already forgot about what I preached about by the time Tuesday comes. If I asked most of you what I preached about last week, if you're here this morning, you probably couldn't tell me. That's normal. Don't think you're an oddball, because that's normal. We have a tough time remembering those things. But what's it take to remember? I have to write stuff down. You know, I have to write stuff down. I take notes. I write stuff down. And then I can go back and say, okay, I remember we talked about this. And then I can go and I can study and I can read. And I do that in my classes. Because let me tell you, some of the professors that are in the classes, they just read for 2.5 hours or whatever. You know, they're lecturing. And it's hard to keep up, and so you got to take notes, and you got to say, okay, he was talking about this and talking about that, because I forget about it. So, I mean, we have pencils and paper, so you guys can take notes, right? Can you choose a person to be your source of truth? I think many of us have people in our lives that we consider somebody we can rely on, right? How do we know we can rely on that person as being a source of truth? Because they know what they're talking about, right? I think it's a better example to follow the Bereans. I like this example. They examine the Scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. And I think it's always wise to compare what we hear and what you hear from me or anybody else with what you read in the Word of God. It's always good to do that, because let me tell you, I could be wrong at some time. I might say something that's maybe not quite right. I try not to, really hard. I try to be responsible for what I say. Every word that I say, I try to be responsible for that word. I do my best to interpret the Bible correctly. I would never intentionally mislead anyone spiritually, because let me tell you, there is eternity at stake. Amen? Our words, and our words that we speak can either bring life to somebody, or it can bring death to somebody. You know that? Your words are that important. Especially when it comes to the truth of the Scripture. All of us have this personal responsibility when it comes to learning and applying the truth. You know, there's a prayer that's called the high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed. It's known by that. And it's in John 17:7. And John 17:7 says this, or 17:17, it says this: sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. I love that scripture. Your word is truth. The Word of God is to be our source of truth, not the preacher. We can be a big help, and that's what I hope to be. I hope to be that, the encourager. But the true source of truth comes from the Scripture, from the Word of God. That is the foundation that I have chosen to build my life upon. Not only do we need to know what the Bible says, here's a tough one. We need to do what it says. As James said, not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. You can't do what it says unless you know what it says. Amen? Right? Whenever you find yourself listening to a teacher or a preacher who is teaching God's truth, it will never contradict the Word of God. That's the one you need to follow, right? Jesus' followers of all ages need need to have a firm grasp upon what the Word says. That's why it's so important that we read and study the Scriptures. Either that or you'll be easily led astray. Regardless of age, we need to be reminded from time to time that what's popular is not always what's right. What's right is not always what's popular. Jesus spoke the truth. Paul spoke the truth. But let me tell you, Paul got beat up a lot of times for speaking the truth. Amen. We think that the Christian life is an easy life. And Jesus said, count the cost if you're going to follow me. Because let me tell you, they're going to hate you because you of me. Why? Because we believe in the truth. We believe in the truth because of why? Because it's the truth that sets us free. Isn't that scriptural? Amen? Man, you guys are so happy this morning. We need to understand the difference between a truth and a lie. That's really what I'm trying to get at this morning. We need to understand the difference between a truth and a lie. Satan, he'll bend the truth. He'll manipulate the truth. And he'll make it sound like, oh, it's good, and yet it's not. Just like he did in the garden in the beginning. He's like, you know, you won't die if you eat that tree, eat that fruit. Surely God wouldn't do that to you. Surely God wouldn't send anybody to hell, right? He wouldn't do that. Boy, that got you quiet. It's true. Jesus spoke this in Matthew 22:29, and I didn't have this on. I've got several more scriptures, but I didn't want to wear Verna out with all these scriptures this morning. This passage has been referred as the basic summary solution to all of life's problems. That's what it's noted at. You do not know. It's Matthew 22:29. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn there. Matthew 22:29. It says, you do not know the Scripture or the power of God. And what's he referring to? All of life's problems. He's like, the reason you have these problems is this simply. You do not know the Scriptures or the power of God. That's why you have all these problems, right? Because you didn't know. And if you get to know the Scriptures and you learn to understand the power of God, you are well on your way to solving a lot of the problems in life. It will help you through those problems in life. You know, it doesn't say it will keep you from problems. It says it'll help you through your problems. Amen? That's what God does. He helps us through our problems. Yeah, amen for that, right? The Sadducees had just asked Jesus what marriage would be like in heaven. Jesus said it was more important to know the Scripture and to understand God's power than to know what heaven would be like. You think about that. We focus a lot of times on the eternity, but yet we don't focus on the now. What's going on now? In every generation, in every culture, ideas of eternal life tend to be based on the images and experience of their present life. These are kind of faulty ideas, and they often are caused by the ignorance of God's Word. And we should never try to make up our own ideas about eternity or heaven or God by thinking in human terms, is what I'm trying to say. We need to read and study the Scripture to see what the Scripture says about it. I mean, we can have all these wonderful ideas, but Paul said, you know, now we see through a glass darkly. But he also said in another Scripture, he said, not that I've attained it all. I haven't got it yet. And this was right before he was to be beheaded. He said, not that I've attained it all, but he knew that here on this earth, he could not understand what it was going to be like. But he knew that when he was face to face with Jesus, when he was in heaven, then he'd know, right? I'll get it then. I'll know. But here, I've got one thing to focus on, right? I've got one thing to focus on, and that's to share the gospel with everyone I meet. That was Paul's purpose, right? Isn't that our purpose? Amen? That is our purpose as a believer, a born-again believer in the church, is to share the gospel with everyone that we meet. To make Christ-like disciples. To teach them to obey the commands that Jesus had taught us. Through what? Not through the Scripture, through the Word. That's how we know. That's how we know. Our goal as Christians is to allow our lives to be transformed by the Word of God, and that's every day. I mean, every day I'm being transformed into who God wants me to be, and that's to be more like Christ. That's what I want. Paul even at the end of his life said, I haven't attained that yet, but I'm trying. I'm still striving. I'm still moving forward. I'm still pressing on towards that mark. I keep my eyes focused on Him, that direction, going towards Him. Yeah, I'm not perfect. Yeah, I've got a thorn in my side. Yeah, I get mad at times, at Barnabas especially. I get ticked off and I get aggravated, and I sometimes get a little bit harsh in my writings to the church. And I tell them, you stupid Galatians. You know, I've said that before, you know, in our Bibles, it reads, you foolish Galatians, but when you really look at what the translation wording comes from, it's in the same category as stupid. And that's really what that meant. Now, if I said that to you guys today, I'd probably be looking for a new job, wouldn't I? Paul could get away with it back then, you know. Of course, they'd beat him up and throw him out, and he'd come back and do it again. But as we read and study and apply the truth of God's Word to our daily lives, that's how we grow to be more like Christ. But it takes that practice, this study and reading of the Bible, the Word, in order to do that. It can't come just from me. It can't come from just coming and sitting and hearing a message. It can't be a Sunday only, like I sang that song. It can't be just a Sunday-only process. It has to be every day of your life. We have to study, and we have to read, and we have to be who God wants us to be every day. I don't want to go too long here. I've got about 8-9 more pages here. See, the defining moment in our lives is when we come face to face with the truth. And that truth is what transforms our lives. And make no mistake about it, truth changes us even when we don't want to change. And we can't change the truth. Amen? There's been times in my life when something has happened or someone has said something or the Lord brought me something to my mind. And I was confronted about it either being true or not true. You know, there's been things in my life when it was pointed out to me that I thought was okay, but God said, no, you need to stop doing that, sir. And that's not a very comfortable place to be, but let me tell you, God, He will convict you. The Holy Spirit will convict you. And He will root out those things in your life that need to be rooted out, and He does that through the Word. Because the Bible says, then we must try to apply it to our life. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious in Scripture. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Man, He puts a lot of things in that one category, doesn't He? Dissensions in the same as witchcraft and hatred, in the same as discord, jealousy, fits of rage, in the same as all these other things. Wow. He goes on to say, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the Scripture says. He said that to the Galatians. That was pretty harsh, wasn't it? Why was He saying that to them? Because they were doing these things. And He's like, listen, guys, you can't do this. Remember what I told you. This pastor then went out to say good things about the church too. Paul did. He always opened up with some wonderful statements most of the time about the church, and then he'd say, but. You know, in Revelation, when Jesus writes the letters to the churches, right? The seven churches. He starts out these compliments, you know. And then there's always this but. You know, God has a way about that. The truth is Romans 3:23 tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we need a Savior. We need God's Word in our life. We need to hear the truth about that. We need to understand who we are. First John 3:9 says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him, and he cannot go on sinning because he has been born again. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Romans 6:12 says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Boy, that one word right there, I could circle it, all that you do. All that you do. Romans 6:13 and 14 says, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law but under grace. Ephesians 3:20 goes on to say that we are able to do these things. Why? Because God is able. He gives us the strength to do that. John 8:34, 36 says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin, and now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I'm giving you a lot to think about, aren't I? John 8:11 says, go now and leave your life of sin. Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. 1 John 5:18 says, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Why do we know that? Why do we know these scriptures I'm trying to tell you this morning? Because the Bible says so. I know I left that with a lot, because I could preach about this for another hour. And I know you guys don't want that. But read your Bible. Study the Word. Every day. And listen to the truth of what it says. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I preached a difficult message. It was difficult for me. But Lord, let it burn into our ears, Lord, and let your truth be on our lips. Lord, let us apply your written word to our lives every day so that we might become more like you and not more like this world. Lord, your word says that we should be separated from this world, not being like-minded like the world. We're different. We are aliens to this place. But we are to share the gospel with everyone we meet, and that's what your word says. So Lord, help us. Give us what we need. Gift us in the abilities that we need. Lord, let your Holy Spirit fall upon this place today and upon the lives of those who are here today, and let us leave here with joy in our hearts, knowing that you are the Word, you are the truth, and that truth is the only one that sets us free. Lord, I praise you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.